salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
And I gotta say right up front here on September 5th, 2018, sure do love my wife. Love my wife, man. She's so faithful and gracious. She's a wonderful woman. I did a radio show last night. I'm going to talk about it here in a second. But I did a radio show on the West Coast, out of L.A. or San Diego or something like that. It didn't start till 11 o'clock. I think that's when it started. And I went for about an hour and 20 minutes. And that's 12:20. And then I listened a little bit to this after they let me go as the guest. And then I listened a few more minutes just to hear what was going on. And then I went in and laid down in bed and bent my wife's ear for quite a while. So I love my wife, man. So I'm a little bit tired today. It's not because I'm tired. It's just because I just didn't get a whole lot of sleep. But that's all good. It's all good. I'm honored to be here. Honored to have you join me. Honored to go on this journey for truth together. Because brothers and sisters, if you think it's not a battle for truth, my goodness, my goodness. So let me, hey, Chad, listen, tomorrow I wanted to do, I'm going to have the calendar up tomorrow so we can get everybody get planned for what's going on. I got waylaid yesterday. I was going to get it all updated yesterday and didn't get to. So I'm going to have that thing all updated tomorrow. I lost a day somewhere this week, you know, and a lot of stuff going on. But I want, you know, theology matters. Theology. Hey, Jared, go to Webster's for me real quick. Theology, use that word. What is theology? I'm going to have it up here. It says theology is divinity, the science of God and divine things. Theology. Or the science which teaches the existence, character, and attributes of God. Theo. Theo is God. Theo. His laws and government, the doctrines we are to believe. Ooh, the doctrines we are to believe and the duties we are to practice. Theology consists of two branches, natural and revealed. Natural theology is the knowledge we have God from his, the knowledge we have of God from his works by the light of nature and reason. Excuse me. And revealed theology is that which is to be learned only from revelation. And tell you the truth, We're doing a lot of living off of other people's revelation of what the revealing of doctrine. Most of us have a theology from somebody else. Somebody else taught us our theology. And I believe that so much of the theology that we carry is an error. Let me continue. Moral theology teaches us divine laws relating to our manners and actions, that is, our moral duties. Speculative theology teaches or explains the doctrines of religion as objects of faith. And scholastic theology is that which proceeds by reasoning, which derives the knowledge of several divine things from certain established principles of faith. So theology, it matters. It really, really does. And on this show that I was on, last night, Jared, if you go to stuff, pull it up. I don't want to spend the whole show on this, okay? We're going to go to, I promised you I was going to go to Judith Rice. She's on my mind this morning, to Kinsey, and I'm going to. I pull this show up. It is called Radio Underground. Fellas, this is a secular show. When I first went on it, it was all the 15-minute introduction before I went on was all MF this and M that, F this, F this, F, these four people. And there's two other people offline that are part of this six-on-one interview. And I was kind of geared up for it because I thought it was going to be an attack, and it really wasn't. Really wasn't. I mean, they wanted to, but I was so proud of myself. I'm not allowed to say, are you allowed to be proud of yourself? Huh? Are you allowed to be proud of yourself? I was so proud of the Holy Spirit in me that I kept the pressure on. I didn't back down. And I want to thank all of the handful of you who watched it last night live. And we're in the chat, defending us in the chat. And I saw yesterday, everybody has theology. Even the lost have theology. And all throughout this show, they can't wait to give me their theology, their opinion of God, and yeah, what they think and what they believe. And I didn't spare them any quarter last night. Hey, Jared, let's just do this real quick, because I want you guys to get a flavor for it. Now, hang on a minute. As soon as the show was over, I turned it off and I watched about 10 minutes of it before I went in and started chewing on Michelle's ear. Not literally, at whatever time it was, very, very late. I was wired. And so after I'm off, they come on the first 10 minutes after I'm off, and they begin to talk about what they should have said to me. Or I didn't like this, I didn't like that. And you know what it is? They don't know how to handle a guy who is cocksure. Cocksure. I used that term this morning to the Lord. I said, Lord, what's cocksure? What's that? Cocksure. That isn't even a word, is it? Well, Jared, go to Webster's. Is that a word? Cocksure. Cocksure. Is that even a word? Yeah, look at that. It is. What is it? Confidently certain. Man, you know what? I had a reason for the hope that was in me. And I didn't back down to their lies. I didn't let them put me in a corner. And they hated the fact that I was so cocksure. And it's been my dream, I don't know how long, 20 years, to do secular talk radio. I think it would rock. Just think it did. It would. I think it did last night. See, remember this. I wasn't trying to lead them to the Lord last night. I wasn't trying to lead their audience to the Lord. I was trying to open their eyes. And I didn't spend a whole lot of time quoting scripture to them. I fought the fight where they would be able to understand. And every once in a while, there'd be a blink of light that would come into it, and they would go silent. Jared, let's just pick out a spot. Go to about the 20-minute mark of this interview, and let's just listen to 5 minutes of this. Folks, this would be worth your time. I'm telling you, it would be worth your time. As you're mowing the grass or doing whatever, watch this. I don't know how big their audience was. On YouTube, there's about 1,700 who listened to it live last night. It's just on Facebook. And I don't know how they're on several different platforms as well. So I want you to listen. Let's just do a few minutes of this stuff and hear the give and take that goes back and forth. Please bear with me on this. I couldn't see any of them. Okay. I could hear them. I didn't know who was speaking to me. There were two guys off camera who chip in. They were very friendly to me. They were very fair. I thought it was going to be an attack. And so I came out with my guns a-blazing. And tell me if this isn't good radio. I'm watching the chat as I'm trying to do it too. And of course, I got some of our teams in there defending me. It's really good. But the other side was, they didn't really have a whole lot to say. Play a couple minutes of this, Jared.
Term front hole, with everybody wanting to use front hole.
Well, okay, now Dave might not be aware of what's going on. Basically,
come on, man, I'm aware of everything that's going on.
Okay, well, front hole. It, front hole is it's the new racial fairness way of describing male genitalia.
I don't even know you guys, but I bet this. I bet you're all smarter than that. And I bet that even the lefties who came up with this, I bet they get back in the back room and they chuckle, say, do you believe they bought that crap? Do you believe we came up with those terms and they bought it? Because we're so stinking gullible. Christians in particular. See, Christians are so gullible because they claim to be Christians, yet they don't stand on what the Bible says. And the reason that I get myself in trouble is because I go to other Christians and say, hey, pal, can you read? Do you read what this says here? What the heck's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? You claim to believe this book, and then you believe that crap that they're telling you.
Let me ask you a question, if I may, because a lot of times people will say that the New Testament fulfilled the Old Testament, so we don't have to follow the rules of the Old Testament, like, you know, wearing blended clothing and stuff like that. What is your take on that, sir? And I would like to apologize for mischaracterizing the ACLU situation. That was my fault.
That's all right, man. Listen, the New Testament, it's a whole Bible, fellas. It's a whole Bible. Jesus, God didn't get born again and become this nice guy in the New Testament, okay? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But in the Old Testament times, they had dietary laws. They had the moral code, the dietary code, and the legal code. And because we lived in different times, like, for instance, they said that you couldn't eat shellfish. Why couldn't you eat shellfish? Because it would freaking make you sick. It would make you sick. They're the slime of the bottom, right? They're the cockroaches of the sea. They said, don't eat pigs. Why? Don't eat pigs because pigs are they're the cockroaches of the farm. Don't eat those. They were unclean foods. And so for dietary purposes, those things were, and mixing the threads and all that stuff. See, fellas, I'm sorry, there's a girl there too. I think there is. Hey, dude.
I'm not too sure what she identifies as, so we'll just leave it as the group.
Just scroll ahead a couple minutes. Let's get on another sub. Just pick a spot. Just a couple more minutes here. So I went to college in 1971. I'd never seen one in my life. So I never didn't even know what it was. 1971.
Dave,
here we are.
Let me ask you a question, Dave.
We're teaching it in kindergarten now. What's wrong with us?
So you don't think that there's any people that are born gay?
No. Why? How could God create you with something he was going to condemn you for? Now, I believe that we all have a propensity to sin. I have a relative who, from the moment he drank his first beer, he was hooked. He's an alcoholic today. I believe he was born with that sin nature and that propensity to do that. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't go to drunk parades with him. We don't go to downtown Columbus and close down the parade and have all the drunks parade up and down. I don't go over there and carry him beer over all the time so he gets drunk. I love him and I want him to come out of that. I don't sanction what I love him in the midst of that sin, but I don't sanction that sin. And by the way, I tell other kids, don't become an alcoholic. Stay away from it. Why is this so hard for us to do with sexual sins?
I have a question for you, Coach. This is Brandon. Okay, so Jared, what are your thoughts on medical?
So it's lively, and I stayed on the offense, and they were stunned. I really believe they were stunned. I'm Jared. Let's go quickly to let's go to First Peter.
Well, Coach, I got to watch that last half hour of it. My wife goes, "Look, Coach is on the show, right?" And brother, let me tell you what, at the end of it, that one guy in the back, he said, "I kept my beer behind the camera because I felt convicted of the things he was saying." Brother, you were Johnny Appleseed.
It was unbelievable, wasn't it, Dale? And I just defended, I didn't get into hermeneutics and the Bible says to have a reason for the hope that was in you, to have a reason. And I stayed on the offensive. I was cocksure. And you know, I heard one of them say after I was off, "Wow, he kind of took over our show." And I saw, praise the Lord, it did. I took over their show. I'm in 1 Peter. Did I say that? 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, I like it when it starts like that. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." It's the way we treat each other. "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him speak peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto the prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." They gave me love, 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 love. See, they got that love thing down. All the world's got that Christian love thing down. I promise you that. Boy, oh boy. "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" Folks, I want you to buckle up right here on this scripture. Put this in your pocket and don't let it go. All right? Verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, celebrate, baby! And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Man, oh man, is that ever a life scripture? And I heard this girl come on. I'll get off this in a second. I was up till I don't know how late. I heard a girl come on after the show was over, and she hated. She said, I didn't show love. I didn't show love. I was judgmental, and I was speaking hate. See, that's the only response they have. Only response they have. And so we've got to, fellas, we got to be, I want to say this again. We have got to win the battle for Christ with the secular mind first. You have got to give them secular reasons why your faith is true. Secular reasons. To tear down these lies about being born that way. And to take them where I took them. You ought to watch it. You really should. I said, oh, you guys, all you non-judgmental guys. Oh, yeah. Huh? How do you feel about the neighbor boy, who's neighbor man, who's dinking all the little boys in the neighborhood? You judgmental of him? That's where homosexuality starts. Do you know that? They don't want to hear that stuff. See, so I'm cocksure and I'm hateful and I'm bigoted and all that stuff. What's it say here? Who's going to harm you, man? Have a good conscience. Tell them the truth and let her rip. I'm done. I'm done with that.
Amen.
That'd be worth your time watching it.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Dave, Chetty. Hey, yeah. Without sounding like a homer, I'm proud of you. I thought you did a good job. All right.
I thought I did. Thanks, Chad. It was the Holy Spirit.
Represent the kingdom. Yeah. And represent the kingdom.
I attacked the secular argument first. I didn't take them to, well, boys, the Bible says in John 3 and read to them the Bible. I didn't read it. I said, dude, hey, I asked them this. So they're teaching homosex in school and not to smoke in school. You want your 16-year-old son to come home and tells you he's smoking cigarettes or having homosex? Common sense tells you which one of those things and which one is the schools against. And why is it that Christians aren't allowed to have their views in schools? Fellas, we can win. We are, the Holy Spirit will so equip you, and we can win these battles. And they hated my cocksureness.
And Coach, they said that you were only supposed to be on there 10 minutes, brother, and you literally train wrecked them, brother.
it was, folks, I'm telling you, it'll be worth your time to watch. Now, here's something that, you know, I'm open to criticism, and I receive criticism, and, you know, I'm always, I am what I am, right? I'd look at myself, say, I could have done this better, I could have done that better. And, you know, I realize I'm bombastic. And I can't be Tommy Milktoast. I can't be that. And the passion and the zeal comes out of me. That is who I am. And the truth of it is, some people hate it. We talked about that yesterday, but why people won't turn on the show. Some of them hate it. They hate the boldness. They hate the cocksureness. They hate the lack of love. Even though those of you who know me know I emanate love. When we're together, we know this, right? Yes.
What you showed him was what a Christian man should be doing.
Amen.
And yeah. I think what it did is kind of like Daniel and the lions did. You shut the lion's mouth up.
The Lord did. I didn't take any crap, Paul. I didn't take any crap. Right?
They probably had something to say, but they couldn't say it because the Holy Spirit was keeping them quiet.
Why they had me on, Paul? they had me on because they'd watched a Right Wing Watch video of me talking about masturbation being homosexual. Hey, dude, that argument took about 3 minutes, and they were agreeing with me. They were agreeing with me. Tell me the woman in the room. Tell me that hand that's on your organ, man or woman here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Hey, coach.
Good job.
I didn't tell them one time how much Jesus loved them either. Not one time did I say that. In fact, they asked, he said, well, God loves everyone. Oh, I jumped on that horse and rode that, and they were stunned by that. Somebody come on in.
Yeah, coach, I was saying, if you can hear me,
I hear you.
Yeah. Think about Jesus when he was walking around. Was he passionate like you? Think about what was going on. Sure, yeah, well, think about when he went into the temple, right? He was passionate then, wasn't he?
Think his heart was beating? Huh? Yep,
so then everywhere he walked wasn't abominations.
Mm.
Everywhere we walk are abominations. So if he had walked everywhere and seen abominations, I think we would have seen a little bit more passionate Christ.
Amen.
And he would have, you know, he was out there teaching and showing, you know, the disciples. He was teaching how to walk on water and fish and how to feed people and how to teach people. You're doing that too, but I think the world is maybe more in our face. The flames are more flaming. And
well, Mark, you know what it is? That even the lost have a theology. I rarely run into a guy who's a flat out atheist. Rarely. And one of the things I took on early in the interview was I said, I'm sick and tired. I don't know who they were because I couldn't see him. I said, are you a Christian? And of course he wasn't. I said, well, I'm sick and tired of you trying to tell me what the Bible says. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't know what I know. Hey, dude, I told him, I've been lost. I've been like you. I've been drunk. I know all that. You ain't never been like me. How dare you sit over there and try to tell me what the Bible tells me how I should live my life. And see, we are so worried about offending people. The righteous are as bold as lions. The righteous are. And evil men flee when no one pursues. Six of them were lined up to come and eat me alive yesterday, and I took the fork right out of their hand.
And, Coach, this is why the people hate you. It says in Corinthians, it says this in verse 14, second chapter, book 2. It says that we are the fragrance of Christ to God amongst those who are being saved and amongst those who are perishing. To one, we're the stench of death, and to the other, we're the sweet fragrance of fellowship. Brother, have you ever been around a pile of poop? It stinks. You gnarl your nose up and you walk away. Brother, you carry the stench of death and condemnation to them just because of the spirit that you carry. That's a great question. They hate you.
Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit I was carrying. For. I'm not bragging about me, okay? Go down there. Jared's pulled that up. Second Corinthians, where did that start, Jared? I'm sorry, do you know where that start?
2:15-16.
2:15-16. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Boy, I'm telling you, I was last night, even though they didn't like it. And even though a lot of Christians, there was one lady in there. She said, oh, Jesus is sure ashamed of him and his approach. Like she knew, right? For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ and them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one, we are the savor of this. I smell like death to them. But to the other, the savor of life. Unto life, and who is sufficient for these things? We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Amen. Man, oh man, got to move on. I would just say to you, it's posted at our Facebook page, and they're going to put together smaller clips of it. And again, bear with me when you watch this thing because. I couldn't see any of them. I had no, when somebody else would pipe in, and I know this, I know the young, I'm just, the spirit tells me, the young lady sitting in the middle there, somebody tied her lips shut. She was stunned by what she was hearing. And remember this, folks, it wasn't the gospel. It was an explanation. It was the destruction of their idols, their beliefs, their lies that they believe. That is our greatest tearing down imaginations and every high, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing it into captivity. I'm not going to let them get away with that bullcrap. Not going to let them do it. And to tell me that that you can bring homosexuality into school, but I can't bring Christ into school. They're so bigoted and they don't even see it. And the sad part is we Christians accept the bigotry. We let them bring homosexuality in and cast Jesus out. Tried to make the point to them that we're a Christian nation and why we're a Christian nation, the lie of the separation of church and state. And you know what they were amazed with? They were amazed that I was smart. They think I'm some hick, right? I was rattling off Supreme Court decisions to them and Everson versus the Board of Education. They were blown away. And then when I was off, then they got bold and they had all the answers, but they couldn't answer that time. Cool. Anybody else? By the way, those of you who were in there, thanks for being in there. I didn't see it afterwards that you guys were in there. Cause I just shout out a real quick thing on Facebook. Hey, I'm on this show with these lost folk. I didn't know what it was. Yes. Yes, Jim.
And to encourage everybody, something that you taught me in this is everybody can do that as long as you stick to what you know. This is what you say, right? As long as you stick to what you don't have to know all the court decisions, all the other things. But what you do, all you have to do is be the immovable rock and say, look, I don't know, but here's what I do know. Because that's what they do. I don't know about all that stuff, but here's what I know. And I know this is the truth, and that means that's wrong. That's it.
So I wish I had David Arthur with me because I want to say that to him. So listen, you're going to tell me you're okay? You're okay if your son comes home a homo? You're okay with that? You think that's normal? Well, they don't like that, see, because, you know, deeper in their heart, they don't want their kid coming home a homo. They don't want that, right? I said, I've been watching your show. I bet you guys been having fun beating up on those pedophile priests, haven't you? Well, how come you're so judgmental about that? Why don't you accept those pedophiles and love them? And they're just born that way. See, they hate that stuff. We have to learn to turn the argument back on them. Amen. Anybody else? Boy, I took a half hour to do that.
Amen.
I didn't mean to do that. It took a half hour. Okay. Anyone else on that subject? Listen, I'm not asking for all of you to say, Coach, you did a wonderful job. I don't need that. Thanks. It's the Holy Spirit, and it was a wonderful job, and I was honored to be part of it, and I want to do more of it. I'm not afraid of those guys. I know the reason for the hope that is in me is greater than the lies that they're going to tell. And I said, Lord, give me more. Throw me in that lion's den more. I'll eat them up. The Holy Spirit will eat them up. I stand on truth. I don't shiver. I don't shake in the eyes and the lies that they're going to throw at me. You know what? I knew their argument better than they knew it. I was 10 steps ahead of them. Why are we afraid to debate like that? Why? Most guys can't. They can't. Listen, don't try to win an argument with a lost guy simply using the Bible. It doesn't work. They know enough of the Bible to be dangerous. Who are you to judge? God loves everybody. But that's all they know. And so they love the Bible when it gets to that part, but they don't know the deeper issue. See, I know the secular argument better than they know it. I can rip up their secular argument. We have to do that first. So then they begin to question their own belief system. Remember I talked the other day about opening your eyes? I'm going to tell you, these guys' eyes are open. And if I could have an individual talk with those six people last night, I will have made some ground. I promise you I will have made some ground. And I didn't beat them over the Bible, the head of the Bible, not one time. We can win, fellas. We can win. You know why? Because their entire argument's based on lies. Their entire argument is based on lies. Why can't we point that out? Say, dude, that is, you're so full of crap. Say, well, coach, they're never going to come to Jesus if you talk to them like that. I'm planting seeds, baby. I'm jackhammering some hard ground. I'm trying to win them to Christ. trying to drive a seed. I'm trying to drive a seed into the ground. That's what I'm trying to do.
They already know the truth, most of them.
Sure they do.
But
they do.
No one convicts them of it. And there's some that they're teaching that may not know, the young ones. But yeah, they know, Coach. You're just pointing them at the thing they know.
They get away. We let them get away with their lies. We can let them get away with it, right? So
amen.
Yeah, you do understand.
Hey,
go ahead.
Just going to say, I'm sorry. I didn't want to cut this conversation off, but I was just thinking about Mark Trump. I heard Mark on there, and I just want to commend Mark on his guest hosting of David's show the other day. Did a great job on there.
You did, Mark. You did a great job on. See, we are fashioning weapons. We're fashioning weapons here in this queue, man. We've got some good soldiers. We just got to pray that the Lord's going to open up the doors and give us the opportunity to go out and wield that sword. As David says here in the quote, expose the darkness. And when you lay it out before them in reality, really in terms, they're dumbfounded. See, they don't stand on any truth. And when you take them off of that platform that they're standing on, when you take them down 2 inches, they know they're standing in thin air. They have no basis upon which to make their argument. We win the debate by destroying their argument first. Did you guys know this? Did you know that in Islam? I know you don't know this. That's why you tune in. You go in the mosque, you know they don't study the Quran. You know they don't study the Haditha. Did you know that? That when you go into the mosque, the what they call them, imams, their pastors do their teaching, just like in Christianity. A lot of pastors do the teaching without opening up the Bible. The same thing's going on in the mosque, but here's the difference. Did you know that in the mosque, they teach their followers how to destroy the Bible? And a lot of times, it's not like I do it every day, but some of the conversations I've had with Muslims, all they do is ask me questions about the Bible. They try to point out fallacies in the Bible. They're trying to destroy the solid ground that I'm standing on. Now, fellas, I'm standing on the rock. My white rock's not going to crumble. And when I'm on with those 6 guys last night, that wasn't a fair fight. They were all firmly planted in thin air. They had nothing to stand upon, and they knew it. When you begin to destroy their God of self, they don't even reason. They don't even have the ability to reason. And so all we have to do is take their argument and follow it logically where it goes. And they see it. They see it. Oh, you think everybody ought to be able to live their life the way they want to? Well, what about those priests dinging those little boys? You okay with that? Well, no, they're not okay with that. Now they're trapped. So then they'd say, well, it's love and hate. No, they fall back on platitudes. They don't have, then folks, they are not built on any foundation of truth. We are.
Coach?
We are. Yeah.
You know, one of the worst things about the reality of what's going on around us is that's out there portraying itself as being the body in the church, not only lets the world get away with dictating what we think about certain terms and Bible verses and other morality issues, they not only let them get away with it, most of the things people out there in what they call the churches are promoting the world's lies.
Well, yes, it is. We in the church promote the world's lies. Here are these unsaved pagans drinking beer and dropping the F-bomb every other word on the show. By the way, once I came on the show, they didn't use the F-bomb not one time. And as soon as I was off the show, it was F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb. Because why? Because they knew that they were in the presence of something, and they had enough common sense or respect that they just kind of curbed their tongue, if you know what I'm talking about. But where do these pagans get the idea that Jesus loves everybody? Where did that come from? Where did they get the idea that we're not supposed to judge? Where did they get that idea? And how many times do they bring that up and people aren't able to give an answer. They can't respond that answer, right? Said, you guys judging me? What are you talking about? You're judging me all the time. Right now, you guys are judging me right now. You know what? I judge pedophiles. I don't judge them as people. I judge what they do. I'm a fruit inspector. I'm a fruit inspector. And if you don't judge, you're going to have your daughter going to bring home some dope head, and that's going to be the father of your grandbabies. You better start doing some judging, buddy. We have to tear down those strongholds, every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity. We don't do a good job of it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, what all you're talking about all fits into what's going on up here in Mount Vernon right now. Mm-hmm. We went into them camps down there where everybody's shooting up heroin and all the nonsense going on. We got about six of them that have come around, but we went in and destroyed their lives. And now after we've left, these five or six or seven people and a couple other ones got out and went back to apartments. But the ones we got coming to us now are seeing what's going on down there. They're wreaking havoc down there. And some of them have even liked me at first, but now when they use the word Jeff Klein, the F-bomb comes before it. Because now they're angry because down in the homeless camps, everything is getting stolen. They're ripping people's tents up. They're setting them on fire. It has went crazy down there. And the people that are coming around, and like you said, they might drop a cuss word or two, and then they look like, oh, I'm sorry. But they are coming around. They're wanting jobs. They're wanting to get off the dope. So we had some good success by just tearing apart their lives. Like you're talking, the same thing, and it's working. So it kind of matches up with what you're saying. I just wanted to add that.
I said last night to that one dude, see, I couldn't see him, right? You know what I wish I had said to him? I should have said, hey, you sure look like a happy guy. Look at you sitting there. You tell me you're a happy dude. But I couldn't see him, right? Sitting there, drinking bottles, dropping F-bombs. You're a happy guy? You want your son to act like you? See, those are the kind of things we have to do. That sounds harsh and that sounds hateful. Fellas, we got to do something to blast their eyes open and to understand, see? And nobody's doing that. Nobody's giving a reason for the hope that was in you. Nobody is. And we're trying to just read the Bible to them and give them a track and tell them how much Jesus loves them. I think somebody ought to tell them how ticked Jesus is at them. I think that would be far more appropriate than constantly telling them how much Christ loves them, because they already know that. Yes,
Coach.
George.
Coach, whoever, where do we come up with that contending for the faith is like Disney World? You know what you did? It reminded me of a football game, man. It's a battle. When you get in there from first quarter to the end, it's a stinking battle, and you are so right. You know what? It's laughable what Christianity America is doing. Now, wonder they don't respect that. And you treated that like a football game. It was a battle.
Six against one, baby. Six against one, and I wasn't begging for help because I had the Holy Spirit tying them in stinking knots. And I can promise you, even if they went home drunk, they're scratching their head this morning. Thank God, what was that last night?
I'm going to throw a cautionary note out. That in order to be amongst a conversation like that, you got to know the scripture. You got a group of people, you never know where it's going. And to maintain a high ground, you really got to know what you're doing when they present the arguments. So, Coach, you're well-armed. You have the confidence to do that because God's equipped you and you've studied. And for all of us to have that kind of conversation in that group may not pan out as well.
No, it wouldn't.
But the minute that you falter on one of their biblical challenges is whenever they gain high ground and you lose. I mean, I did this out in I felt that way a little bit out in when we were doing Occupy, went around to do some of the other things.
Right.
And that's really what this is teaching us, is how to do it. You're teaching us how to go out there, how to be confident, but we still got to get in the Word. And we still got to know the Word whenever these things come along.
Hey, Mark, most of the time when you're out there, one of the reasons why I've been being around Coach and being in that stuff is the fact their arguments never change. It's normally the same argument.
Very shallow, Dale. Mm-hmm. It's very, very shallow. And we're losing the battle because we can't give them a reason for the hope that was in us. And see, we have to, just casting down imaginations, and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We have to tear down their wall. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. I got to show them that they're firmly planted in thin air.
Yeah, and unlike Disney World, where you're served a plastic spoon to eat your meal, brother, when you tear down a wall like that, you better bring a sledgehammer.
I did last night. I did. I'm so proud of myself. I wanted to do it again. I wanted somebody else to call me. I wanted to get on with Howard Stern. I wanted to do the same thing to him. I ain't afraid of those guys. Oh, let me get on there with them, Lord. Let me get on there with them.
But Coach, can I ask you? When you go into a pit like that, do you do an intercessory prayer and ask for the Holy Spirit to arm you with the weapons that you need to take on what they're throwing out? I noticed that when I've gone into things that are way beyond my pay grade in the spirituality, when I ask the Lord to help me, I'm spitting out stuff that I don't even realize I'm spitting out.
Well, I stand on this promise every time I do a show, and every time I come on here, Scripture says you will be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And think what? Not what you shall speak, for it shall be given unto you that same hour what you shall speak. For it's not you that speak, but that your Father that speaks through you. See, the Holy Spirit opened up that platform for me last night so that he could speak. Wouldn't me? And if I'm sensitive enough to yield myself to him and just let him roar, then we're going to be effective with it. He never said he'd never leave you. He'd never forsake you. He's not going to drag you into a battle that you're not capable of winning. He is there if you are attuned and trained to hear just the apologetics, just the idea, just to look at the foolishness of butthole sex. Just to look at that foolishness and to think that we accept that, to think of the foolishness. You mean to tell me you can't come up with an argument on why they shouldn't be teaching masturbation to first graders? You can't come up with an argument that can defeat that. We just don't do that. See, we just let it go. We just let it go. Can you tell me? Can you come up with a reason why pedophilia is wrong? People aren't born that way. This doesn't take a great depth of understanding of the Scriptures. Ask the Lord to give you the ability to win the battle on their ground first. And then doors will open. Eyes will open. Oh, yeah, you look real happy, dude. How many times a day are you smoking dope and getting high? How far behind are you on your bills? And by the way, who's your girlfriend dinking right now that you don't even know about? And who are you dinking that she don't even know about? And it looks to me like you got a pretty screwed up life, pal. That's how you open their eyes.
And gosh,
that's judgmental. That's hateful. Hey, is it? Telling you the truth. I'm reading your mail.
And Coach, what was awesome, the Holy Spirit took control of that show to where they couldn't get you off from the show, brother. I mean, that is so God. It was like something you would see in a movie, is that their intention was to have you on for 10 minutes to rip you up and down. And God literally seized that show, because I know you, and I know that you went in, Lord, I don't know what the questions are going to ask, but let them bring it, Lord, and you speak through me. And brother, you disarmed them. Brother, you disarmed them, and God seized the control. It was their show, and you took it over.
Dale, the most amazing thing was, I was supposed to go 10 minutes. I went an hour and 20, and then they got rid of me the last 20 so that they could say something, because they couldn't say it while I was there. I wouldn't let them get away with it. So if you watch the last 20 minutes of the show, they're just back and forth on, well, I didn't agree with him on this, and I didn't agree. Oh, they were real bold then, weren't they? Real bold then. They weren't, he shut the mouths of the lions. He does that. That's what the Holy Spirit does.
You were still controlling the show at that point.
I was, the Holy Spirit took over the show. They joked twice that I had taken over the show. They joked it twice, but they were incapable of taking it back because the Holy Spirit had seized it. This is really something, man. I didn't mean to talk that long about it, but I think it's important for us to see it and to understand. Guys, listen, that's why calling into radio talk shows is important. I don't know if, there aren't a whole lot of local ones anymore. But it's important to call into local radio talk shows and don't try to win the argument. Just try to plant a seed. Just try to expose how stupid what they're saying is. Because there are other people listening and go say, I never thought about that. The front hole and the back hole. You know that's what they're talking about now, right? That's what the left, that's what the God haters are doing. Not a vagina and a rectum. No, a front hole and a back hole. Because why? Well, you can't call it a vagina because they may not be a woman. They may just happen to have a front hole. We have lost our freaking mind and we let them get away with it. David Arthur, you're pretty quiet today. You got to be busting inside. What are you thinking?
Coach, I'm a mess from yesterday still, but on the way down here, I turned the radio on. I tried to call into the show, actually, and I couldn't get through. They were talking about the news on the local radio station, and I was still in Ohio. They were talking about, like, it was news and it was normal about a man who had a 2-foot-long dildo lodged or lost inside of him, and he couldn't get it out, and he had to go to the hospital, and how the doctors created a new tool to be able to go up inside of somebody with this little lasso thing and grab a hold of it and get stuff out that gets lodged because they'll be needing it. But they were talking about it like it was normal.
And nobody calling in to say, this is wicked. There's nothing wrong with this, right? Nobody.
Talked about his back hole.
His back hole.
Not his rectum, but his back hole. In opposition, of course, to his front hole.
Listen, folks, we laugh this stuff off. This will be the language in 3 years. This will be the terminology in 3 years. We laugh at it. Oh, that is so stupid. Who will ever start doing that? You watch.
Kindergarten teachers teaching the children.
Yep. And I had one of those idiots. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. One of those lost guys last night say, well, the schools aren't teaching homosexuality. I mean, what the hell do you say? What do you say?
They don't even know.
Well, even worse, they don't even care.
Yeah.
Because, hey, you know what one of them said? You know what the if you can pull that picture up, I don't even know his name, Jared. Doesn't matter. The guy with the beard, I lost my train of thought. I was thinking something else. I was thinking about it. Oh, love is love. Love is love. Unless you're a Catholic priest thinking a boy, that ain't love, is it? No, but they're okay with that. Yeah, Mark.
There's three guys with beards.
Okay. Okay, well, the one there with the Coors shirt on, I think. He went after me with it was a mic drop moment. You gotta listen to it. Well, what about the way Christians treated my ancestors? I'm Native American and I said, hey, so hang on a second, dude. Hang on here, man. Hang on. Just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean you are one. And just because people practice Christianity badly doesn't make Christianity bad. Christianity is a good thing. And you're the same guys that are sitting here right now saying, bomb, 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 Iran. You're the same guys saying that. We're bombing the hell out of people in Afghanistan. You're not bitching about that. You're only worried about you and what Christians did to you. Well, here we are, a Christian nation, killing multiple thousands of innocent people over in the Middle East. You don't seem to be too upset about that. You know, he had nothing to say then. Nothing to say. We can't let him get away with this, folks. Can't let him get away with it. By the way, they were very, very nice to me. Very nice. And I think it was set up as a gotcha because they were going to make fun of me because I said masturbation was homosexuality. And then, whew, man, oh, man. So there you go, you guys. Huh? You just take one clip from right wing watching, you're off and running. And you ought to be smarter than that than just taking one clip and building a theology off of it.
They definitely didn't do their homework. I would say that, Coach.
They didn't. They thought they were going to have dinner. They thought I was going to be it. And they got a little indigestion. And I think it was so their audience, by the way. See, folks, listen. Can we be very clear about this? The left hates truth. They hate truth. They hate it. Now, you and I know the truth is a person. Jesus is the truth. They hate truth. They hate Jesus. Now, they love to tell me and you how you ought to behave because you're a Christian. They love to tell us that one. But they ain't got no concept. And that's why the Bible tells us that there would be a time when there would be a form of godliness, but that they would deny the power thereof. I heard you, Holy Spirit. Jared, pull up Jerry's email. I got an email yesterday. I'm not gonna I just wanna share this. I wanna say to all the naysayers, and there are a lot of them, this show makes me grow. And you know what else? This show makes you grow. Whether you admit it or whether you realize it, there are right now laying in the wings listening to this show, unsaved people. They're listening. They listen to it once or twice, and you know they're being challenged every day. They don't even know the Lord, and they can't stop listening to the show. I think what goes on is powerful. I got this yesterday, and I know this guy. And Roger, you know this guy too. That'll give you some hint. Listen to the wisdom that comes out of this guy. Okay? Can I make a confession here real quickly? Fellas, guys and girls, a lot of times I go into subjects that I haven't researched, and I'm telling you, I trust the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I'll say something and I'll go into an area that I'm a little bit hesitant to go in because I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to ever leave anybody the wrong way. I don't ever want to. And I'm always amazed afterwards when I get emails like this from a guy who was listening and said, Coach, man, will you ever write on, but you missed this. This so encourages me when I get these kind of emails, because here's a guy thinking for himself as he's listening. He says, Dave, I listened to your broadcast yesterday. When you're making reference to Joel 2, you omitted a very important point, probably the most salient point in the last verse. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Joel, the Old Testament prophet, spoke the words God gave him, not his own words. As you know, there is no punctuation or chapters in the early manuscripts. So chapter 1 starts out with the word of the Lord. Most all of the Old Testament prophets had no clue as to their message's time element or what it actually meant. See, when Jeremiah was speaking, he didn't know we're going to be reading it 1,600 years later. He was saying it at that moment as an oracle of God. This is very powerful, Jerry. They were not speaking out of their own wisdom, but only what the Lord told them to say. The day of the Lord referenced here is the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple at the end of the Mosaic age. The remnant are those who accepted the teachings of Jesus Christ and the apostles. Not one of the believers in Jesus Christ perished in the destruction of Jerusalem. They were alert to Jesus' teachings and that of the apostles. And the warning of Matthew 24 were clearly for the believers to be able to see clearly when to get out of Jerusalem. The non-believers were continue living as in the days of Noah, oblivious to the impending peril and destruction. This was all in God's plan, and it exploded the spread of Jesus' believers across the world. Now, let me pause there. Isn't that the way it is today? We see it coming as sure as we can see it. And how many people can't? After the resurrection, Jesus explained to the apostles that they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Through this gift, the apostles who knew the Old Testament prophecies were able to have eyes to see, hear, and to be able to interpret those old prophecies. Jesus and the apostles often quoted from the Old Testament prophet. He says, let me digress a minute. Consider the parable of the tenant in the garden. The parable was so important, it was spoken of in Isaiah 5, Luke 20, Mark 12, and Matthew 21. After the tenants killed the last messenger, Jesus Christ, all were destroyed except for those that had accepted belief in Jesus Christ. They were the remnant. Isaiah 65 really brings it home, especially verse 15. And then later on in your broadcast, you did make a point that really jumped out. I mean, let me explain. We were created in the image of God. We were given dominion over the creatures of this earth. What makes you different than an animal? See, those guys I was arguing last night, they don't see any different than a man and an animal. Right? See, God gave you the ability to think, reason, love, hate, use of memory, compassion, fear, ability to acquire knowledge, think in the abstract, forgive, and the ability to understand his word. 2 Timothy says, give each of us a command, study to be approved. This is not optional or to be relegated to anyone else. Listening to a pastor, a theologian, or reading commentaries, or even listening to the coach does not meet this requirement to do it to yourself. Study yourself, show yourself approved. When you, I, or others kneel in front of the Lord and explain our actions when questioned, we're going to sound lame by answering, well, this is what my pastor told me. What question will the Lord then ask? What did my word say? I gave you a book of instructions. Did you read it? Way too many people I've come in contact with do exactly what you say. They speak in platitudes, regurgitating something they've heard. Seldom do they investigate it. Let me ask you a question. Exactly who is responsible for your salvation? The answer should be very clear. We're responsible for it. Work out our own salvation. Okay, this goes on. It's a Jerry, thank you, man. Just thank you for the email. And all of you who send me emails, I do read them. I do. I read them all. And I appreciate it. So be encouraged. You are here not because of me. You're here because the Holy Spirit's drawn you here. And your job, it's like Paul Webb said the other day, God bless you, Paul. I appreciate it. He said, you forced me to go deeper, Coach. That's all I want to do. You don't have to believe what I believe. You don't have to think what I have to think. But by golly, you better begin to ask yourself why you believe what you believe and why there's a reason for the hope that was in you. That's what I want this show to become. That's what I want this show to do, to train you to stand on your own spiritual 2 feet and not be afraid. Oh. Tear down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge. Yeah, George.
Coach, I
every time you talk,
maybe aren't even
try it again, buddy. We didn't hear that.
Okay. No, I sense there's some people out there listening to your show. You talk about people that aren't saved yet, but you know what? I sense that they're going to be some of the most mighty end time preachers and warriors. Because you know what? They're listening to this show and they're learning from you and Dale Socha, Mark Trump, David R. I could go on and on. Yeah. You know what? They don't have a faulty foundation like I did. The last 3-4 years, I have had to have my foundation torn down and now built up to learn the truth. So you out there listening, run to the Lord, embrace what he's calling you to do quickly, because your foundation will be built quickly because it will not have to be torn down.
And whoever the spiritual guide is in your life, you better hear me. You're only going to go as far as he can take you. That's it. And you may be content living in the low levels of your faith. I'm not content. I ain't going to do that anymore. And I respect other men of God and I respect the words that they have to say. But you know what? I don't know what they know and they don't know what I know. And I'm responsible to the Lord for what I know. And the Holy Spirit told me that he, the Holy Spirit, would guide me unto all truth. I'm glad I got a pastor who's trying to, but I'm going to tell you something. He don't know it all. And he's blind to a lot of these things because if he knew them, he'd be teaching them. And these things are spiritually discerned. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today. What time is it here? Put on your big boy pants. Launch out into the deep. Go hard after the Lord. I know this. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's going to take you by the valley of the shadow of death. He's going to walk you by still waters. It's going to be quite a journey. But I'm going to tell you this. He will never, ever ask you to do something that he has not equipped you to do. You can do more than what you're doing. You're better than that. You're so much more than you have become. And you better look around you and say, listen, and am I just going to go as far as this pastor can take me? Is that as far as I'm going? Well, God bless you. Live in the low levels if you want to. I'm going up to the high place. Going to try. God bless you. See you tomorrow.